Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Hashtag Be Inspired by She Heals. How are you doing today? I trust you're good, and I know that you've given gratitude to God this morning for waking you up. Priceless. Well, I want to start as always by saying thank you so much, guys. Thank you for listening to the podcast and sharing. Thank you for being on the website, www.shereallyheals.com. Thank you for all your comments and messages. You know I love you guys. You're awesome. Well, today we want to talk about people who do not ask for help. The reason why I'm talking about this is because me and the girls had our meet and we were discussing, do you need other people to tell you what to do? Do you need other people to help you get to where you need to get to? Should you tell people your plan so that they can help you? Well, those are so many questions. But the angle at which I want to come in is, why don't you want to ask for help? What's wrong with asking for help? I mean, there will always be somebody who's been through the journey you're about to embark on. There are always people who can do it and you can see that they've actually succeeded. Why do you want to make all the mistakes on your own? Why don't you want help? There's nothing wrong in making mistakes because you learn from it, but it's also good to also ask people and say, look, I want to go from A to B. You're already at B. You've been there for a long time. How did you do it? And then that will guide you, you know, as to how you want to do it. Now, there are some people who believe, okay, I have my plan. Nobody can tell me what to do. Even when they're married and they have a partner, and God gives you someone who can complement your weaknesses. Nobody is perfect. They complement your weaknesses and your strengths. So if you have a partner, a friend, your parents, anybody around you who you know at least knows what they're doing, they're not trying to intrude in your life. They just want you to, you know, to do well. And what is wrong with somebody not wanting you to make all the mistakes they made so you can get there faster? Anyway, today I'm going to tell you a story of a guy who had it all figured out. I mean, sit back. I hope you enjoy this. Thank you. Now, this young man, you know, educated, finished school and said to himself, I've got it all figured out. This is my life plan. Before I'm this age, I'm going to have a job. Once I work for a while, I'm going to start building my house. Once I finish my house, I'm going to leave work, resign, run my own company, get married, have children, have amazing money, and nobody's going to tell me otherwise. Now, that was his plan. And truth be told, it happened to him. He finished school, he got a job instantly, started working, put money aside, built a house, he resigned, got a company, and then he was about to get married. So this young guy of 20 something, within 6-7 years, he had done all that, and he was so proud of himself. Not only proud, he was also very cocky. So this young man goes to his mom and dad and says, look, you should be proud of me. You know, I did what you guys couldn't do. Look at me, I'm barely 30, I already have my own house, I have my own business, and you guys couldn't achieve that. Anyway, you should be proud of me, you know. So, well, here is a house, here is some cars, you take care of yourself. And that's what he did. Now, he was proud. He bragged and told anybody, well, whatever you want, I will do it for you. This is me, I've done this. And he gave all the accolades to himself. Now, when it was time to get married, he had two ladies he was trying to choose from. And, you know, one was this, the other one said, well, she fits perfectly into what I want. She's tall, she's educated, she will do what I say. So he gets married to this wonderful lady who, you know, nice lady, young lady, decides, okay, whatever you want, I want. She leaves her job and moves in with him. They get married and then she starts working in his company as a human relations manager. And everything is going perfectly. Sooner or later, she gets pregnant. They have an amazing baby and that's it. And life goes on. Now, this guy is so stubborn. He actually imported goods from outside the country to sell and everything was going fine. Then one day he has an epiphany and he decides, that's it. I'm going to import these relatively unknown goods into the country. He had already paid for it, shipped in like 10 containers. And just before they arrive, he said to his wife, dear, you know what? I'm importing these containers into the country. 10 of these goods, I found them when I went to China and I think they're going to sell here. And the lady said, honey, but you know, why didn't you just import a small container of this and use it to test the market? Sometimes when you bring new things in, you're not sure how people are going to accept it. You know, I mean, that would have been a better idea. If you had told me before, I would have told you, no, don't tell me what to do. I know what I'm doing. Are you a business person? Yes, you're in my human resources. You deal with the humans, I'll deal with the cargo. this is my business and I'm going to do it. So the woman said, sorry, love, no problem. Now the containers came, he put them in a warehouse, 10 of them with thousands of products. And what he did was he stopped importing what he actually knew and people knew him for. So his clients saw the new goods and didn't like them and stopped coming. One by one, they withdrew their custom from him and began to go to other people because they came to him to take A and now he has B. They don't want B, they want A. And they kept asking, when are you going to get A? And he goes, this is what I have now. So he decided to get so many marketers, send them out into the street, start marketing. And in 6 months, one container was not gone. They still had 9.5 containers left. Now, that means he wasn't making any money. So all the savings he had to use to pay for staff, to pay for his house, to sort himself out. Now, as things were getting bad, he got a call one day and said his father had a stroke and he was needed in the town. So in the hometown, rather. So he rushed back there and his father had a stroke. On one side, he was paralyzed. The mom was crying. She was helpless. She didn't know what to do. And doctor said to him, look, you know what? Your father is going to need a permanent nurse right now. Your mom can take care of him. You need to arrange for that, and his medication is expensive. And he goes, well, I have money, it's not a problem. So they got a nurse. He paid 6 months up front and allowed the nurse to take care of his father. So he went back home to his own town where he lived. Now, a few months down the line, things weren't going too well for him. His staff was there to leave, sales were dwindling, and his wife said to him, look, honey, why don't you let me go back to work? Now that I'm working for you, there's no money. Why don't you let me find a job outside so that we can begin to make money? And he was livid. He said to Shada, what do you mean? Are you saying I can't take care of you? Look, don't worry. I'm going to bounce back. Don't bring yourself here. I can do this. Don't worry. This and that. So the woman said, okay. So now she had to stay at home and look after the kids because they couldn't afford to have a nanny any longer. They used to pay a nanny to look after the child, but they couldn't afford it. So she had to now go home and stay and stop work. And meanwhile, he struggled and did everything. Just as things were going downhill more, he got a call from his house and say his mom died. Now, his father was the one who had a stroke. It was his mom that died. Now, when his mom died, his father was like, look, I can't stay in this house alone. I need to come to you. So the nurse and the father came to the house to live. Now, this guy was fast dwindling. All his staff had left, his warehouse, everything. Now, the house they lived in, he had taken money off it, like taking a loan off it with the house as collateral to buy those goods in the first place. He had to add to it because he didn't have enough savings. So the fact that he wasn't selling the goods, the bank came and repossessed the house. Now they had to move, but where to? Fortunately, that same father who he had told off that he didn't make it, look at where he ended up, he doesn't have any money, he's not going to be like his father, was the same father who told him, son, I have some savings, let's go and take it and get a 3-bedroom apartment. So they moved from a posh area to a high density area and got a flat, and the man was just so upset. Everything had gone. He's lost his company, his staff, everybody had stopped coming. Even the warehouse had been repossessed, but the goods were there and he didn't have anywhere to put them. So the owner took the goods off him to replace the money that he owed. And everything had gone downhill. Now, being a proud man that he was, he didn't want to ask for help. His wife kept asking, honey, let me go and work. I have a degree. I have masters. Let me go do work so at least we get it. He said, I'm not here for it. God forbid. I'm the man. I take care of you. This and that. Anyway, he said, I'm going out and everything. You know, he would go in the morning, come back at night. He told his wife, don't worry. I'm working with somebody. I'm working something out. But apparently, he used to go around the corner and sit at a beer parlor joint and just drink. And when he came home, he would vomit and throw up. And the woman began to get irritated. So she spoke to her father-in-law and said, look, Papa, I'm taking a job. So she took this job and began to bring money home. The man didn't like it, but in order to cool tension, she got him a cash point card so he could withdraw money so it wouldn't look as if she's the one giving him money. And rather than withdraw money for useful things, he used it to drink and smoke and squander. So she withdrew the card from him. Now, the company gave her a car. She gave it to him to drive and said, honey, look, why don't you drop me at work and pick me up from work in the evening? And he will do that. So anyway, one of these days, he took the car to the car wash. while his wife was at work. And as he sat there smoking, this car, a big white Mercedes-Benz Jeep, rolled in to be washed. And as the owner stepped down, the owner called out his name. He looked up and thought, "Wow, oh boy, how are you?" This and that. And they high-fived each other and everything. And the guy sat down and said, "What's wrong with you? What are you doing here? Look at you. What's the matter? Man, you were out of the four of us who were friends when we were in university. You were the one voted most likely to succeed. What's going on with you?" So the guy told him, "Well, things have been hard. I invested in something. It didn't pay out. So I'm getting back on my feet. I'm getting the guy said, "Don't worry about it. You helped me in school. You gave me my only pair of trousers. You gave me my only shoe, my leather shoe. You helped me in school. You got me through it. You gave me money all the time. Now let me pay you back. Come see where I stay." So the guy said, "Come with me." And he said, "Well, I've got to pick my wife out from work. This is her car. Do you mind if we do this tomorrow?" The guy said, "No problem. Where do you want me to pick you up from?" They said, "No, I will meet you somewhere." I said, "Okay, this is my office. Come to my office tomorrow." So the next day, this man turns up at his friend's office, and as he gets there and tells the secretary's name, he's ushered in instantly. He said, "Okay, he's expecting you. Please come in." So he sits down in this palatial office, four floors. The guy's office is on the penthouse floor. He has, you know, wall-to-wall carpet, everything looking all posh. They bring food and the guy says, "Here, this is for you." And the guy hands him an envelope, and when he opens it, he finds a check for $5 million and a car key. And he goes, "What's this?" He said, "Well, come down, let me show you." And he takes him down and gives him this nice Toyota Camry, brand new, that has just 6,000 miles on it. Said, "This is yours. You shouldn't be using your wife's car. Let your wife use her car. That's how your wife use her car. You use this. And I want you to go with me somewhere." And the guy said, "Okay, all right, I will." So they get in the car and they drive. They drive out of town for about a mile, for about an hour, I beg your pardon. And they get to this house. Huge gates. They drive in this white house with trees and gardens everywhere. So they shut the switch off the car and they go into this house. It's huge. There are people everywhere. And he leads him into a room and says, "Wait here, I'll be right back." In a few minutes, he's led into another room and they meet this man, tall, long white beard, and he says, "Welcome, my son. Please sit down. Your friend tells me you've been through hard times. You don't have to go through this. Come join us and your life will change. Everything you've lost will come back." And the boy looks at him and says, "What's this? Who is this?" He said, "Don't worry, just listen to him." And he says, "You have troubles. You imported things, they didn't go well. You did this, you did that." And he goes, "Yeah, I told my friend, so what? You're not telling me anything I don't know." And he said to him, "Well, I will tell you something you didn't tell your friend. Now, when you were 15, this is this. When you were 20, this. And the guy began to see that this man actually could read him and knew him. And he said, "No problem. All you have to do is come for an initiation and we promise you that everything that is lost will come back." So he was like, "Wow, okay, I think I'm in. Everything I've lost will come back." I said, "Yes, all right then, come back tomorrow for the initiation and everything is sorted." So the next day he comes back and they initiate him into this cult thing. And before he knows it, he's moving around with governors, with judges, with everybody. And true to the word, a few weeks after that, he gets a call from someone who says, "Come and see me." So he goes to this person's office and the person says, "Look, me and my family are relocating to Canada. Right now, I'm looking for somebody to take off my business. We're a logistics company. We have warehouses. We have about 15 trucks. I can give them to you if you want, and then you can pay me instrumentally whenever you want. I'm fine." And the guy says, "Me? Yes, why not? I've known you. You're a good businessman. So here you go." And the man hands over everything to him. And before you know it, he has 50 staff, 15 trucks, a huge warehouse, and he's back in business. Now he's in this cult, has helped him. He believes in this cult. But there's one thing to this cult. You cannot refuse a member anything. That's the only rule. So he's told that, "Look, from now on, your wife can't cook for you. And you have to make sure that you don't eat a woman's food. You have to get a male cook to cook for you. And you can't refuse any member's request." That sounded simple enough, so he decided to tell his wife, look, you can't cook for me. The father was worried, the wife was worried, and said, what do you mean I can't cook for you? And he goes, don't worry. So he goes out, gets an apartment on his own, moves out there, and then gets enough money, gets another house for his family, moves them there, and doesn't stay with them. He'll come home once a week, and he will just go see the son, and he will go back. And then the wife and the father were wondering, where did you get all this money from? What's going on? When he didn't tell them, the father said to the wife, don't take any of this money. Just keep working. Use the money you have, man. Don't take money off him. So when he came and offered, they wouldn't take it. He didn't care. He moved in to his thing. Now, one day, one man called him in the cult while he was there, because they had their own clubhouse, obviously. And the guy said, I need a favor from you. So he comes to him and he says, I like you. I've been looking at you. Would you be my friend? And he was happy. And he goes, oh, yes, sir. I'll be your friend. You're the chief church. Why not? This man said, okay, come. And the guy leads him into a room and he's thinking, we're going to have a meeting, this and that. And the guy says, strip. Strip? What do you mean strip? He said, take off your clothes. You want to be my friend? We need to have sex. And he goes, what do you mean? And that's how we started. He was passed around from judge to governor to everybody. And soon he began to fall sick, both physically and mentally. He was ill. He couldn't tell anybody. Now he called his friend and said, look, boy, look at what's going on with me. These people are passing me around like an hallowed. What do I do? He said, you can't do anything. You remember what the rules say. You cannot refuse a member anything. So one day his wife went to see him at home. He hadn't come. Usually he would go home over the weekend, but he didn't go home. So his wife went to see him in his new apartment and he hadn't eaten. He looked really sick. So the father advised her to take him to church and let him pray for him. So when he got to church, pastor asked him, what did you do? He didn't tell him. He said, look, if you don't, you're going to die like this. What's going on with you? So he confessed to the pastor. And finally, they prayed for him and set him free. But the pastor said to him, one thing though, if you want to be truly free, you've got to give up everything the cult gave you. Fortunately for his wife, she had worked and saved money. So they had to leave everything, get a new place and move on. And so his life was saved. Now the thing is, this guy would have not gotten into all this mess if he was just not too proud to listen or take advice. All he had to do was listen to his wife, or at least sit down and think, look, the minute he lost everything from his foolishness, he also wanted to gain it back, and he was so desperate to do anything. A lot of us are so desperate to do things that we'll do things we're not supposed to do. We'll follow people anywhere, we'll take on calls, we'll defraud people, we'll go online and try and get money off people illegally. It is wrong. Look, all you need to do is sit down, move around with people. They always say a one-eyed man in a blind man's town is a king. It's wrong. Always be in a room with people who are better than you. So if you have one eye, move into a room where people have two eyes so that they can guide you. There's always somebody who knows better than you. There's always somebody who's done things and succeeded at it, and you are just getting into it. Watch, read, listen. Look, everything is online now. You can listen to amazing inspirational talks and lectures about what you want to do. You can read books. You can even go and do short courses that are free. You know, I'm trying to make yourself good. Don't rely on yourself and think, I can do it, I don't need help. No man is an island. Everybody needs help. Everybody needs someone to help them to get to where they need to go. You need to learn from somebody else's story. Look, go online or buy some books. Read how people made it. Those who've made it and succeeded and done amazing things. And I'm sure you would gain a lot from them. Well, I want to say God bless you. You take care. Don't forget to be a blessing and make a difference. This is Shehill checking out. I love you guys. Bye.